today as we come to the table.
Jesus himself nullified every other religious movement except what you find in the Bible and through him. And we either believe him or we don't. He said he is the true light. Everything else is false light. Now, if that's the case, what does that mean for New Age spirituality? False. What does it mean for the Quran? It's false. What does it mean for the Hindu writings, the Bhagavad Gita? It's false. What about the Book of Mormon? It's addition to the Bible. False. Interesting. What about Awake publication that the Jehovah's Witnesses leave everywhere? Jesus said they're all false because they add to or take away from the Word of God.
In a society that upholds diversity, equality, and tolerance as the highest values. And while those are good ideals for a harmonious society, when it comes to your salvation and gaining eternal life, they don't work. Jesus says he's the only way to heaven. All other religions are false and can't save you. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark teaches that Jesus is the true light of the world. He's the only one who will lead you to heaven. Any religion or teacher that adds or takes away from the Word of God is a false light that leads to darkness. In a world that offers so many different misleading options, be sure to follow the true light. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 1, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
When he asks her to marry him, this is a mutual thing. Will you marry me? One of the most wonderful things in the world is when she says, yes, but she had a choice to make, didn't she? She wasn't forced to marry him. Aren't you glad, ladies? Because there probably were some guys that asked you to marry you, at least some of you in here, I'm sure that you would just like, no, that's not going to happen, right? But how sad it is when that invitation is given and she says no. What a picture of the rejection of the Lord, you know? In the world, sometimes it's good that there's a no, but it's never good when there's a no with Jesus. He says, I shine my light on your heart. I give you my love. Will you marry me? Will you be mine forever? And then you have a choice to make. And that's what he's saying, that you might believe. It means you might accept him. You might welcome him and say, yes, I will be a part of your home. I will accept you. I will welcome you. It's beautiful. And that's exactly what the wording is saying here. Verse 8, he says, he was not that light. That is, John wasn't the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. Again, driving this home, repeated emphasis that John is not the light, but he is simply the one that's shining that light. Because again, getting away from the tendency of people to follow the wrong thing or the wrong person because of how God is using them. You know, it's interesting. Now that John wrote this about John the Baptist, you can see historically why. Even after John died, there were still groups of people that kept following John the Baptist. Did you know that? In the Middle East, they followed John the Baptist, even though John kept saying, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, it's like, yeah, but John's messages were so powerful. You know, and John was this, and repent, and everything, ooh, you know. And they followed John. He said, I'm just reflecting light to you. It's him that you're supposed to follow. As a matter of fact, would you believe that throughout the centuries, that has carried on, and there are still some today who follow John the Baptist? As a matter of fact, Milad and Trace were sharing with me, some of them are out of Iraq. They still follow John the Baptist. And as we're seeing now, the Muslim community and the other communities, not Muslim in their case, but those that are kind of this aberrant, kind of almost outside of Christianity, whatever they are, coming to America, you may start hearing about some of this. Because they're coming in from Iraq, and there are some of them that still follow John the Baptist. So this is actually very relevant for today. John would say to them, don't follow me. I must decrease. He must increase. And that is exactly what John the Apostle is showing us about John the Baptist. He goes on talking about the Lord. He says, that was the true light. Notice that. Interesting. True light. How can you have false light? He said, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Now, this is powerful because John here discriminates between false light and true light. The true light, he says, is Jesus. What then is the false light? Guys, it's interesting. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 and 14 says this, speaking of false teachers. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Notice what he's saying. There are movements out there, and there are spiritual leaders out there that appear to be emanating light, but it's not God's light. It is false light. It is demonic light. There is a spiritual darkness that has light. Now, what kind of dichotomy problem is that? Spiritual darkness that gives light? Absolutely. And so we have to make the distinction. Is this God's light or is this the enemy's false, fake light? You know, it couldn't have been made more clear to me when Tracy and I lived in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Because when we live there, they have the whole New Age movement. I'm not kidding. Everything there is so bizarre. They have like this, they have the UFO museum there. They have churches that worship angels. That's what the church is set up to do, is to worship angels. All these things you read about in Scripture, that would never happen here because we're in the South and we know the Word. It's really going on, even in America. I mean, so understand, we have to know, is that false light? But it's real. Something happened. There's a power there. There is a power there. And it's real. But it's real demonic. It's not God's power. So John is saying, I have come to point to the one that's going to show you the true light, not the false light of all these false religions and false leaders that are out there, and you need to be able to distinguish the difference between who is right and who is wrong. And this is interesting to me because since all true light, notice this, all true light comes from Jesus, and the Bible, Jesus alone validated the Bible. Jesus didn't validate any other writing. He validated the Bible, and some were around before Jesus. You know, Buddhism, Confucius, they were all before Christ. He said, everybody that came before me were liars, thieves, and robbers. He said, I alone am the gate that can get you in. And he said, anybody that comes after me, he said, if they change this from what I've told you, then it's false. So Jesus himself nullified every other religious movement except what you find in the Bible and through him. And we either believe him or we don't. He said, he is the true light. Everything else is false light. Now, if that's the case, what does that mean for New Age spirituality? False. What does it mean for the Quran? It's false. What does it mean for the Hindu writings, the Bhagavad Gita? It's false. What about the Book of Mormon? It's addition to the Bible. False. Interesting. What about Awake publication that the Jehovah's Witnesses leave everywhere? Jesus said they're all false because they add to or take away from the Word of God. And so it's so important we understand the true light as compared to the false. And I just want to mention this briefly. Wherever you go or whatever, don't just assume your pastor is teaching the truth or even knows God, because there are a lot of pastors across America in pulpits who are not teaching the truth and they don't even know God. Now, I'm not going to try to give you a picture that everything I say is accurate. I know better than that, and the Bible tells me that's not. James said this, let there be few teachers, because we make many mistakes. So, but hopefully they're not going to be foundational mistakes, such as Jesus, the only way to heaven, the cross and the blood, the only way to be forgiven of sin. These things have got to be solid. There may be nuances that are off somewhere here and there. And we know that denominations and non-denominations disagree on things, but those are what we call the non-essentials. They're not as important. The essentials, Jesus, the only way to heaven, the cross, his death, blood, sacrifice for sin, no negotiating. And that has to be something we stand on firmly. And again, notice here it says that Jesus gives light again, to all of men or all of mankind. It's very interesting to me. Note that. He's the one that gives light to every man coming into the world. Now, this is interesting. Think about this for a moment. What it's saying is every single person that's ever been born on this planet, God has given a measure of light to at some point in their life. Everybody. Now, if they're in a place where they don't know the name of Jesus, they're still getting light. They may not know his name, but somehow it says in Romans chapter 1, whether it's the deepest jungle or wherever it is, God is revealing himself. Even through nature, it says. God shows everyone the light, and he will hold them accountable. Some way he gives them enough understanding where they have to make a decision as to whether or not they're going to turn to the God of heaven or reject the God of heaven. Every single person on the planet is what it's saying. That means that everyone is without excuse. That means that everyone at some point has their eyes open. Maybe some of you this morning, right now, are having your eyes open and God is shining that light on your heart. That also means that the atheist doesn't really exist. They claim they don't believe. But the Bible says this, I revealed myself to them. They know I exist. They just chose to reject me. And now to make a point of their choosing against God, they call themselves an atheist. But every man has been given light. That's powerful. I remember when I was given light, Santa Fe, New Mexico, you know, not knowing the Lord, thumbing flying saucer rides to get to work. And Tracy began to share the word with me. And I was arguing with her. I don't remember our discussion, but I would always argue about the word. Not that I wanted to say the Bible was false, but I didn't really believe it was exactly accurate, and certainly not all of it. And I was arguing, and all of a sudden, in the middle of our conversation, it wasn't anything she did. It was the work of the Holy Spirit, but God was using her as that witness. All of a sudden, I knew it was true. I just knew it. It's just supernatural. Boom, 1 second, don't believe it. The next second, whoa, this is the word of God. And there was this sobering realization that I'm accountable to this thing that's true that I've always said wasn't true. See, when you can say that it's not true, you're free to party. You're free to do whatever you want and kind of, you know, but all of a sudden when you realize it's true, you realize, wait a minute, I've got accountability here. And somebody's going to call me to task one day. And hopefully you won't do this if you don't know the Lord today, but I ran for 2 more years. 2 more years knowing the Bible was true. And then I gave my life to the Lord. Now, here's the thing. How long does that window stay open? How long does he shine his light on the heart of every man? I don't know. For me, he gave me a couple of years. Was I at the very end? Did he give me longer than other people? I don't know. But here's the thing. We can't take a chance. And if you're here this morning and God is shining light on your heart and saying, prepare the way of the Lord, I'm showing you the truth through what you're hearing this morning, you need to respond to it because I don't know how long that window is going to be open, but everyone gets the opportunity for that window to be open. Everyone. And some of you may be having that window open this morning. Now, again, very interesting because it shows us that the Lord is faithful to reach everyone at some point where they are. And notice what it says in verse 10. It says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. What a sad verse. A number of reasons. That is, although he was the creator of the world and made everything, the world didn't know him. Think about that. He's the creator of everything, and yet the very thing he created doesn't even know him, and he came to live among us. The majority of the world rejected him. He shined light in person and by his spirit, and still the majority of the world has rejected him. And this verse is speaking not only of the people around the world, he's speaking, saying, around the world, everyone, God has revealed that light to the Gentiles, to everyone. And some of them have rejected him. And yet notice what he says in the next verse, not just the world rejected him, but this is the saddest verse, verse 11, he came to his own. That is the Jewish people. He became a Jew. He set him aside as his own special people. And notice, and his own did not receive him. So not only did the Gentiles by majority not receive him, the Jews by majority didn't receive him. And can you imagine? Not only did I call everyone, I specifically called this group and poured more into them, and they still don't believe. How heartbreaking for the Lord for this to happen. And yet, is it not still true today? The majority of mankind today still rejects him, even though he shines light in the heart. And how sad, even more so. Listen, I can almost understand the world to some degree rejecting him in some way because they haven't had as much emphasis in their life. But how could the Jew reject him? With all the prophecies, everything that said was going to happen, it said their Messiah would suffer and that he would die having his hands and his feet pierced, that all these things would happen. And the Jews look at it and say, well, we don't believe that that's Jesus. Amazing. And how heartbreaking it is to see people have so much illumination and then still reject so much. Look, even nature accepted the Lord. Even nature. Remember when he was out in the water, it says the wind and the waves obeyed him. And remember the donkey that he rode in on that had never been broken? He rode in on this, and they were more like a horse back then. They were special bred animals. And he rides this donkey in, the donkey of kings, if you will. He rides it in. It had never been ridden before, and it comes right in without a problem. Let me tell you something. That is not natural. If any of you guys have ever been on a horse that needs to be broken, I was on one, and they told me it was broken, and maybe it was supposed to be. But when you're young and you're foolish, not only will you get on one that some friends tell you is broken, but even one without a saddle. So I'm on this thing, and here he goes, and I'm hanging on his neck. Blah! He's like, you know, I wish I could have. Now I'd like to see it on film. It's probably rather comical. I can tell you, they don't naturally just calm down and let you do what they want. This one did. This one did. Because he submitted to the Lord, and nature recognized him. The animals, the world, the wind, the sea, the waves, this is our creator. And yet we can't recognize him sometimes. Isn't that amazing? And so an interesting dichotomy. But he says even his own didn't recognize him. And they still don't today. Until the very end, they will in the last days. But notice this in verse 12. But, now here's the good news. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now, there's a lot here. Notice, not only did the people of the world not recognize him, as we said, his own Jews didn't recognize him, and of course, you know, even the demonic realm recognized him, but he says, for those who do recognize him, if they'll simply believe and receive, then I'll recognize them. It's interesting. The word here, believe, is a noun, and this word is used in the scriptures in a noun form and a verb form. This word, rather, it's not a noun. Take that back. It has a noun form, but this word is a verb. It has noun and verb. He used it 78 times. He's going to use this word 78 times in the Bible. And to you, that might not mean anything. But the point is, every time John uses this word, he uses it as a verb, which, by the way, you English people, you know that a verb is a word of action. And that is, he's reemphasizing, yes, God is the one that draws us in, but you have a choice to make. I have a choice to make. We have to choose God in order for God to receive us and let it become part of him. Now, I know this gets into the whole predestination thing, but this is very simple. God sees in advance everyone that will choose him. It's not hard. He knows all things. He sees all things. He saw that you would choose him, and because of that, he chose you, and he predestined you. But here's the wild part, and this is where it blows our mind. Until you now come to your part in eternity, which is maybe now or whenever, and you choose him, you're now fulfilling what he foresaw. And now you're one of his. And this is how this works. It's used as a verb, again, showing action, which means we have to take action in order to be saved. God initiates, we accept that initiation, and then we make a choice to receive the Lord, and we receive him. And notice what he says happens if we choose to receive him. He said, if we choose to receive or accept the Lord for who he is, he then gives us the power, or as it's written here, the right to become the children of God. Think about that. Think about the neatest family in the world, just if you want to put this just on a worldly way, the most wealthy family, the sweetest family, whatever you can conjure up, that they would give you the right to become a part of their family. Would that be cool or what? I mean, it's one thing to say some wealthy person, yeah, you can use our, you know, our beach house for the weekend. But it's another thing to say that beach house belongs to you. You're our family. Just let us know when you're there so that, you know, we don't book it at the same time. But it's yours. You own it. You know, everything's yours. That's what he's saying to us. We're all going to own it. The kingdom is ours. He said it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And so this is an amazing thing that mortal, sinful humans can now be transformed by the power of God and be included, not just to, listen, it's one thing to take part with the family of God. Can you imagine? We go to heaven and we're invited to go to all the family functions for eternity. Wouldn't that be cool? That would be cool. Listen, that would be good. To go to heaven and be invited to all the family functions for eternity, to get to ride the heavenly jet ski and to whatever. You're a part of the family, right? Okay? That would be cool enough. No, no, no. The Lord didn't say, I haven't invited you to come be a part of my family. If you choose to receive me, you are my family. There will be a transformation in the heavens for eternity. You now are my son. You now are my daughter. It's not me saying it in word. It is something I will do in heaven, and it's real and it's eternal. It all belongs to you, and you belong to me, and we're one big family. Is that cool or what? That is what the Bible says. Now, what's interesting about this, again, receive is in the active voice, which shows that it's something we have to do. But if we do that, note this, he says, then, if we believe and receive, you got to do both. You have to believe in him and you have to receive him. So there's action on our part. Then you have the right to become a child of God. I know you've heard the phrase, everybody's a child of God. The Bible says that's false. The Bible says everyone is not a child of God. That is a false statement. God created everyone, but not everyone is a child of God. Only those who believe in Jesus and what he did on the cross and then choose to receive him as their Lord and Savior, they now have the right to become children of God. And as they do that, God grants that right, and they become children in the kingdom. You know, we're a nation of rights. We understand rights. That's an amazing right that he gives. And notice how it happens. He says, it doesn't happen by the will of the flesh. We're all born once. Notice this, but we have to be born again. Verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. You know, not man's desire or something of the flesh, but of God. John here now introduces the teaching of being born again. What does it mean to be born again? It means we've already been born once physically, but now we're dead spiritually. The Bible says we're all born dead spiritually because of the sin in the garden with Adam and Eve. So how do we get that light to come on? How does that spiritual light come back on? How do we flip that switch? We have to be born a second time or born again. How do we do that? I believe in Jesus, that he died for me on the cross and rose again the third day. And Lord, I now receive you as my Lord and Savior. The Bible says that he clicks the light on, he moves inside, he's now inhabiting us, and we are born again, children of God, to the fullest rights of a child. We're in his family as one forever with the Lord, and we'll live forever with him in eternity. That's the promise that God gives for those who will simply believe and receive, and they can be born again. And the question really begs this as we finish today, have you been born again? Maybe you've believed. Well, the Bible says the demons believe. Demons are believers. You know, can you imagine if you could see the demonic realm and invite your friend, and you knew where they were, and you invite, hey, let's go to a group of believers. I want you to meet them, just as a joke. And you could see in the spiritual realm. And you're around the corner, and there's all these hideous demons. Ah! And he gets out of there, and you go out laughing. You go, hey, man, I'm just, you know, kidding with you. I knew God would open your eyes. You could see him. Those are demons. They're believers. They said to Jesus, we know who you are. You're the Son of God, of the Most High. The demons believe. Question, will demons go to heaven? They will not. Well, then you say, but I'm a believer. Well, let me ask you this. You're a believer. Here's my challenge to you today. Are you a receiver? Because the demons believe, but they haven't received. They were rejected, and they rejected God, so they were put out. We have to believe, and then we have to what? Take action and receive. If you do that, the Bible says you're saved and you'll be born again. I want to give you an opportunity to do that as we finish. Maybe everyone in here knows the Lord. Maybe everyone does. That would be great. But there might be some of you that God's been preparing the way this morning. He's been shining his light on your heart. He's been preparing the way. He's getting you ready. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. And right now your heart's probably beating fast and you're, oh no, this and that, whatever. Listen, the light is now shining on your heart. I don't know how long that light's going to shine there. And I'm not trying to say that to scare you into the kingdom. This is not some type of high-pressure sales tactic. God forbid. This is the choice between you and the Lord that you've got to make. But at the same time, I want you to realize the seriousness of when God shines that light, it doesn't give any guarantee of how long you're going to believe. Because once that light quits shining, hearts harden. And we've seen that throughout history. So if God is shining his light on your heart, respond to it this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for shining your light on us this morning, just in your word, God, for revealing more to us about John the Baptist and John the Apostle and all that you're saying through these men, Lord, who loved you and knew you and you used to write your word. And I thank you, God, for teaching us as believers. We want to know your word, God. We need to know your word, and we need to have your light shining more in us. And God, I pray as believers that you'd help us to be better witnesses like John was, that we would shine your light better, that we would empty ourselves of us. And as we empty ourselves of us, your light could shine more brightly through us, God, and we could be a proper and true reflection of your glory.
You've just been listening to Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. We're currently going through the Gospel book of John. If you're new to the faith, John is a great place to start. You learn of such fundamental truths about who Jesus is and what he's done for each and every person. Jesus was even willing to meet with a Pharisee late at night to further explain who he was and what his purpose in coming was. Jesus talked with Nicodemus about being born again. All of this was referring to a spiritual rebirth that he was offering to this man and everyone else who would ever live. What an invitation. John 3:16 was spoken during this meetup, where Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Have you accepted this invitation from Jesus? We hope that this message has brought some clarity to what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus. If you have any questions about the things you've heard today, would you give us a call? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once again, that number is 865-609-1385. In addition, you can let us know about any questions you might have by going to our website and finding the questions or comments link. Our website is thewaymedia.net. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you find yourself traveling through, staying in, or residing in Knoxville, Tennessee, we hope you'll come visit us at Calvary, Knoxville. Service times can be found at thewaymedia.net. Just scroll to the bottom to find a link to Calvary, Knoxville. That's all we have for today on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary, Knoxville.